From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson, broadcasting today from Houston Public Media.
I'm Robin Young in Boston. It's Here and Now. And Jeremy, we are looking forward to hearing more voices from where you are in Texas.
Well, and I apologize to any listeners who wanted to hear a bunch of Texas accents, because the interesting thing about Houston is it's such a diverse city now, the most diverse metro area in the country, that a lot of the people you talk to don't have Texas accents because they're not really from here. But we'll get to that. But we want to get to the news out of the Supreme Court today. It is a Monday in June, which means we have decisions to talk about, although I will qualify that by saying not the big two that everyone is waiting for, the Affordable Care Act and same-sex marriage, or even the other one, lethal injections, a lot of people waiting for. But we did get decisions in several pretty interesting, lesser-known cases today. And joining us to talk about them is Emily Bazelon, staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. Hi, Emily.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. And let's start with Kingsley versus Hendrickson. This is a case about inmates' rights to sue prison officials for using excessive force. Remind us of the details of this case.
This case arises out of an issue in a Wisconsin jail where the defendant was waiting for trial on a drug charge. So he hadn't been convicted yet. And he got into a dispute with officers at the jail. He was handcuffed. They took him out of his cell forcibly, and then they used a taser on him. And so he sued, saying this was excessive force. And the question is, what's the standard for judging whether the cops have used excessive force when we're talking about someone who's in pretrial detention? So after an arrest, before a conviction.
And what did the justices say?
They said that the standard should be objective unreasonableness. In other words, the same standard we use for people who've been arrested. When people have been convicted, the standard goes up to reckless conduct. And in other words, this court is making it a little bit easier for people to win a suit for excessive force during pretrial detention.
And is this a significant ruling? Is this going to matter all across the country?
Yeah, it will. It will matter for pretrial detainees. It will mean that the police in jail should be more circumspect in their use of force, because the standard that courts will use if someone sues them is one that will be slightly easier for the detainee to win.
We also got a decision today in a suit that two California raisin farmers brought against the U.S. government. What was that one about?
Yes, this one is a takings case. It's actually been up to the Supreme Court before, and it's based on this old Depression era rule from Congress in which if you're a raisin farmer, the government literally takes some of your raisins. And the idea is that they're doing this to keep the price of raisins higher, which you would think would be of benefit to the farmers. But in this case, as you said, two of the farmers sued, saying that their property was being taken from them without just compensation.
And did the justices on the court agree with them?
They did. Essentially, eight justices said that the government has to pay just compensation when it's taking personal property, the same as when it takes someone's land. And so the court also said, look, if the government's right and taking some of these raisins actually helps the farmers, then the government can factor that into compensating them. But they do have to compensate them for taking away the raisins.
Who was the dissenter?
The dissenter was Justice Sotomayor, and she actually had, in part, some support from Breyer and Ginsburg and Kagan, but they wrote a sort of mixed opinion that, in part, also sided with the majority opinion, which was written by Chief Justice John Roberts.
And how wide of an impact is this case going to have?
It's a pretty big deal for agriculture, and there are some other old Depression-era rules lingering out there which give the government the power to regulate prices in certain agricultural industries. And this gives farmers more power to say to the government, hey, we want to make sure that we're getting justly compensated and paid for these crops that you're taking.
Okay, we got a very close ruling in a case of a hotel registry case out of Los Angeles. Tell us about that one.
This is pretty important, obscure as it may sound. Los Angeles, like a lot of municipalities, has a law saying that hotel and motel owners have to keep detailed registry information and that the police can come and inspect it at any time without any kind of search warrant. They can come onto the property, flip through the registry, make sure that the hotel owners are properly keeping these details and look at the details for purposes of crime solving without a warrant. And so the five justice majority, and this was an opinion where Justice Sotomayor wrote it for the majority, they said that this was a violation of the protection against unreasonable reasonable search and seizures in the Fourth Amendment.
And does this have an impact on hotels across the country?
Yes, it does, because there are a lot of cities that have these kinds of laws. And essentially, the debate here is about the importance of crime solving, because lots of people who, you know, pass through town stays at hotels and motels. And so you'd want the police, at least there's the argument, you'd want the police to have access to these records so that they can figure out where people are. On the other hand, essentially what the majority said is, look, this law can still require the hotels and the motels to keep the information. But we want the owners to be able to say, if I don't want to turn this over, I need to have some kind of review. In other words, go before some kind of court. The police have to make some sort of showing that they need this information.
And we got another decision today, a patent royalty case involving Spider-Man. I'll let our listeners go online and read more about that. But Emily, three big cases we're waiting for: lethal injection, same-sex marriage, Obamacare. When are we going to get those?
Well, yes. Good question. The next decision day is Thursday. But I have to say, if I was betting, I would say that the same-sex marriage and Obamacare decisions are more likely to come down a week from today. And it's even possible that the court will still decide to extend the term by a day or so. They've done that in the past. They haven't made an announcement like that yet, but there are actually seven pretty important decisions that we're still waiting for.
Well, we will be waiting to hear you tell us all about them. Emily Bazelon, staff writer at the New York Times, fellow at Yale Law School, somebody who gets to know everything about every single Supreme Court case and then explain them to us. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.